Now, just like the mean is the most commonly used measure of central tendency, we do have measures of variability that are also used more than others, and these happen to be the variance and the standard deviation. The variance is simply the standard deviation squared. So when we talk about one, we're really talking about both of them in a sense. These two measures, the variance and standard deviation, also tend to be associated with the mean. So and the mean is used conceptually in the development of these two measures. So as the interquartile and semi-interquartile range tend to go along with the median, the standard deviation and variance tend to be associated with the mean. Now, what I want to do is sort of talk you through the logic of the standard deviation to give you a feeling for what it really is. The formulas, well, there's a couple formulas that we can use to compute these things. One is called the deviation formula, and the other is called the raw score formula. Deviation formula is a good one to know because it captures the essence of what the standard deviation really is. The raw score formula, we really won't talk very much about. It's there. It's in all textbooks. If you actually have to sit down and calculate one of these things by hand, it tends to be easier, more manageable than the deviation score formula. But it doesn't make much conceptual sense. It's kind of magic how it works. So we won't really spend a lot of time on it, partly because it's not that helpful conceptually, and also because you hardly ever are going to compute a standard deviation or variance by hand with the availability of calculators and statistical programs. So we'll focus on the deviation score formula, but first I just want to go through intuitively what it is we're trying to get. So if you go back to the scores, say, in the bowling example or in some of those three-sample graphics that we did earlier, we could see that even though distributions might have the same central tendency, they differed in terms of how spread out the scores were. After all, variability really deals with the spread of the scores. So if you had to come up and develop a measure of this spread or this variability, what would you do? Well, one thing you might try is to think about all the scores in the distribution and say, well, what is the average amount that a score might differ from the mean? If the average of differences from the mean was 1 point, that would be a lot different than if the average score was 10 points away from the mean. So one way to think about the variability in the distribution is what's the average distance that the scores are away from the mean? Well, that's sort of an approach to this, to the variability and to deviations. So let's push that a little bit and see what happens. We could take a score, let's say, go back to the bowling scores. We had an average of 150. So we have a score of 100. That score differs from the mean by 50 points. We also had a score of 125. Well, that differs from the mean by 25 points. And they're both less than the mean, so we've got a minus 50 and a minus 25. Our next score was 150, so that had no deviation, so that's a 0. Then we had a 175. Well, that's 25 units higher, so that's plus 25. And then we had a 200, and that's 50 units higher than the mean, so that's plus 50. So we have a plus 50, a plus 25, a 0, a minus 25, and a minus 50. Well, lo and behold, if we take all those deviations and add them up, we get zero. Now that's exactly one of the properties of the mean that we talked about before. Remember, the average deviation around the mean of any set of scores will always add up to zero. So even though it's a good idea, the average deviation always tends to be zero, and it doesn't, in fact, discriminate different distributions. So it's a great idea, but it fails because of this property of the mean, in which the deviations around the mean are always zero. So that the case one score set of scores and the case two set of scores, even though one was clearly more spread out than the other, if we use this average deviation concept, they would come out to be zero. So that doesn't work. Well, an approach to that might be to get rid of the sign. The problem is we've got the minus 50s canceling out the plus 50s. You remember, that's the balance business of the mean. So the positive scores and the negative scores, deviations tend to cancel each other out. Not tend to, they do in fact cancel each other out. So one thing we could do is to get rid of the sign. Well, how do we get rid of the sign? Well, there's a couple ways. One is you could take the absolute value of these deviations and then average them. So you'd have the average of the absolute value. And that's possible and makes conceptual sense, but it didn't work too well. People have tried it, and for reasons that are beyond where we are in this class, that approach didn't work. So the next approach to get rid of signs could be to square the number. So if we took all of these deviations and squared them and then summed them and averaged, we would have something that might work. And in fact, that's what we do. We square the deviations, average them, and now we have the average squared deviation. And then to get back to our regular units, we just take the square root. And that, in fact, is the standard deviation. So notice it's not called the average deviation because the average deviation doesn't really work. So even though conceptually it's what we're trying to do, we end up calling it the standard deviation to avoid this averaging problem.